Our sermon today is based on a reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24, verses 3-7. And the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I said, "Figs. The good figs very good, and the bad figs very bad, so bad that they cannot be eaten." Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard as good the exiles from Judah, whom I have sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans. I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart." Thank you, God, for watching over us, for keeping your eyes on us. Well, now we're on our third week of our sermon series, examining parts of God of which we are all a part. We've looked at God's face, more accurately. We learned that God's presence is all around us. No one has ever seen God's face, but God's promise is that one day, when all things are made new in this world, we will indeed behold God's visage with our own eyes. Last week, we put our hands into God's hands. Not only our hands, but our times, our fate, our destiny, our future. And we rejoiced in God's power, a power that God hands on to us to heal, to help, to touch. Today, we will look into God's eyes. I remember when I was around 8 years old and my Sunday school teacher told us we can never hide from God. God is everywhere, she said, and God is always watching you. God sees everything you do. Well, I wasn't so sure about that idea. So when I got home from church, I went in my closet and crawled into the farthest, darkest corner. I sat on a pile of stuffed animals and I covered myself with a blanket. There, I thought, God doesn't see me now. I'm in a closet way in the back and I'm covered with a blanket in the dark. God can't see me. Well, of course God could see me. I may have boasted a little bit about hiding from God to my mother, who, of course, underscored what my Sunday school teacher had said. God is everywhere, and God is always watching. So if two important people in my life held that opinion, then it must be true. I felt rather silly because of my lame attempt to hide from God, because sure as shooting, there were things I wish God had not seen me do. Then I started to wonder, was God angry at me? Disappointed in the things God had seen me do, things I couldn't undo? I could have succumbed, as some people do, to the quicksand of despair and cynicism, saying, what's the use of even trying if God is watching and God gets angry at you? But over the years, I've learned that God is watching us not with eyes of resentment, waiting to zap us for the next wrong thing we do. Instead, God watches us with eyes of mercy and love, ready to forgive us and give us another chance. But there's more to the notion of God's eyes, especially when we accept that we are God's eyes, watching the world for God. God set before the prophet Jeremiah, my favorite prophet, a basket of figs, the world, and asked rhetorically, "What do you see?" Jeremiah answered honestly, "Figs. That's all, just figs. Some of the figs were good, ripe, and ready to eat. And some of the figs were bad, worthless, useless, ready to be thrown on the trash heap." So far, Jeremiah and God were on the same page. Jeremiah was certain God saw the same thing he did. But God knew more about the figs in the basket than Jeremiah could know. Until God clarified the vision to Jeremiah, the prophet had no idea about what God was planning to do with the figs. The figs represented the people of Israel, poised to go into exile. There was a paradox to it all. God told Jeremiah the people who acquiesced and went into exile without protest would be all right. They would go to Babylon, the city of one of their greatest enemies, and they would prosper. They would be in the land of exile for a long time, for 70 years. So the ones who made the best of their lot would be fine. These were the good figs. God told them to plant crops and start families and wait for God's redemption to come, as it surely would. The ones who rebelled against the godly decree, the ones who dug their feet in stubbornly and refused to budge, refused to leave Israel, these were the bad figs. They would find themselves battling famine and pestilence. They were going to be a horror, an evil thing to all the kingdoms of the earth, a disgrace, a byword, a taunt, and a curse in all the places where God would drive them. They believed God could only bless them while they were in the land of promise. So they thought they were being faithful, but leaving was the act of faith God wanted them to perform. God was going to show them that God could bless the people wherever they were. That was the paradox. Leave and blossom, stay and wither. So while Jeremiah and God saw the same thing, figs, some good, some bad, God saw much more than Jeremiah, seer, prophet that he was, could ever see. God saw the desires and the desperation of the people, their fears and their doubts. God saw the prospects and the possibility and the potential of the people, even if they weren't in the promised land. The people believed God wouldn't see them if they weren't in the promised land, but God saw them quite clearly. God saw their future and their fates. Of course, Jeremiah could see none of that. He saw the surface, the easily assumed aspects of the figs. These are ripe and these are bad, and that was all there was to it. But God saw deeper. God saw beyond. God saw more, so much more. What other Bible verses tell us about God's eyes? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the entire earth to strengthen those whose heart is true to him." Psalm 11:4 says, "The Lord's eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind." 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer." Habakkuk 1:12-13 says, in praise and awe of God, "Your eyes are too pure to behold evil, and you cannot look on wrongdoing." Since God is always watching us, what do we want God to see? Do we want God to see us acting in anger or on our knees in prayer? Do we want God to see us holding out our hands to others in need or closing them in fierce, selfish fists? Do we want God to see us opening doors of hope instead of slamming them in the face of daunted dreamers? We have many choices in life, so many decisions to make, just like the exiles from Israel. Do we accept our destiny and humble ourselves and go into exile, clinging to the promise of God to help us and set God's eyes upon us for good wherever we are? Or do we scoff and say that won't happen and stand stubborn against the clear call of God? What do we want God to see? Which kind of fig do we want to be in that basket? Where did the phrase, "don't put your eggs," or let's say figs, "in one basket," where did that phrase come from? It's found in the novel Don Quixote. A line in the book says, "It is part of a wise man to keep himself today for tomorrow and not venture all his eggs in one basket." The famous financier J.P. Morgan would counter that notion by saying, "Put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket." That's what God has done. All of God's hopes and dreams and promises and our possibilities as God's children are in that basket. God looks on us with love, not wrath. God is always hoping we will do the good and right thing, that we will be the figs that will learn a valuable lesson and come back to God stronger and humbler, ready to be the people God wants and needs us to be. I used to watch what my son Daniel did with an eye out for catching him doing something wrong. But finally, one day, I caught myself and shook some sense into my head. Shouldn't be constantly looking for him doing something wrong so I could call him out on it and make him feel bad. On the contrary, I should have been constantly looking for him doing something right so I could praise him for it. Praising someone for doing good or even just trying to do good goes a long way, a lot farther and a lot better than trying to make someone feel worthless and inadequate, no matter how hard they tried. It took some training, but I got myself into that good habit. And instead of averting his eyes and cowering with dread because he thought I would criticize him or yell at him, when I changed my tune and my attitude, Dan began doing better. And he'd look at me as if to say, "Hey, see how I'm acting? See how I'm doing? Aren't I doing good?" The sincere praise I gave him helped him be a better kid and me be a better mother. It's about the same with God. God is the kind of parent I would pray to be. God wants to look at us and see us doing the best we can. God wants to catch us doing good. God wants to send us praise and blessings for doing things we are not ashamed for God to see us doing. Yes, we are the eyes of God, looking for those who are doing good and godly things. Now, of course, we sometimes see people doing what we deem as evil, and on the surface, we are prone to making assumptions, just as Jeremiah did, without knowing all the facts, all the underlying motives and meanings, ascribing to those figs our human understanding of what they are like, rotten to the core, not worth saving. So while I'm not saying that we should never call it out if we see someone going against God's will, we also have to remember that even though we are the eyes of God, we don't see half as much as God sees. We don't see the deepness as God can see. We don't see beyond what God can see. We must remember 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We can't possibly see into anyone's heart, but God can. So we must not be too quick to judge another person, and we must look on them with the same look of mercy that God has previously bestowed upon us. Because God has seen us at our worst. God has seen us stumble and fall, make bad decisions, and even try to hide from God's eyes. But even so, God loves us, and God is still looking out for us, ready to help us and show us the right way to go. We can do no less for the rest of God's children. Let us pray. Dear God, may we always try to look for the blessings you have placed around us. Grant us wisdom and insight and clarity of vision so that we can see your hand, your power reaching out to us. And let us feel your holy presence hovering around us to keep us safe and protected. Amen.